Meanwhile, tonight, I want to start something that has been a burden on my heart. Maybe it's been a burden on yours. So let's pray, and we're going to seek God's wisdom tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would guide. May your word be paramount. Lord, without you, we can do nothing. And surely, to present your word tonight, the instrument cannot do it without you. So I pray that your word would come forth. And may that which is written in the Scripture settle in strong into hearts. I pray in Christ's name, amen. I have to tell you something. I have really been enjoying something that I've been doing just recently. I don't know, the last 8 years, maybe 9 years, I can't remember. And again, I mention this because, you know, I ought to be doing this. I've been reading the Bible through twice a year. But when Brother Tozer was here, he was talking about how he had really slowed down in his reading. And he had mentioned, others I've heard, about as you read the Bible, pray it through. Be talking to God and praying while you're reading. And I tell you, that has been the greatest blessing. I just thought I'd share that with you. You don't get through near as much. Usually I'm through two chapters. But boy, let me tell you, when you're reading in the Gospels, and I plan on this, you know, going into the Pauline epistles, it's just a blessing. Now, I don't know. Some of you might have a schedule that you just do year by year, and that's what you're going to do, and, you know, praise God for that. I remember years ago when Chuck Coffey was here, you know, people talk about, you know, just different cadences, different ways of reading the Scripture through. And most often people say, hey, read it through for a year. You can do that. It's not hard, but he would take 2 years because he really would troll through and just dig some things. And so I thought, well, that's interesting. I never paid all that much of attention to it. I liked getting through a lot of Scripture every day. But now that I've slowed down, it's great. I've just enjoyed that. Could you take your Bibles, please? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 8. Now, we're going to be all over in the book of Proverbs. This is not going to really be the text for tonight, but it's going to be the place where we begin. Proverbs chapter 8. How many of you make it a habit to read a chapter from Proverbs every day? Raise your hand. Okay, several. All right, very good. Good. The title of the message tonight is the first words out of verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry? You stop and think about that. God is not silent when it comes to His wisdom. His wisdom is seen everywhere in creation. His wisdom is seen. And when men begin to contemplate life and recognize truths, even though they might not be saved, but they recognize truth that really it comes from God. Doth not wisdom cry? And understanding put forth her voice. She standeth in the top of high places, not hidden at all, not trying to hide someplace, by the way in the places of the paths. Now, we're going to be coming back to this down the road. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. You know, the Lord is trying to speak to mankind. There are so many voices. There's so much that's trying to get our attention. And we're giving it in a lot of wrong places. When I say we, I mean collectively mankind. When it comes to the topic of wisdom, I have found that one place you don't need to go to is Wikipedia. Now, follow me on this. According to Wikipedia, now Wikipedia is a bunch of people, you know, stepping in and giving what they're thinking. Wisdom is the ability to contemplate and act using knowledge, experience, understanding, common sense, and insight. Wisdom is associated with attributes such as unbiased judgment, compassion, experiential self-knowledge, self-transcendence, and non-attachment, whatever that means, and virtues such as ethics and benevolence. Question, what's missing? God. And really, you can even take it, you can take it beyond that and recognize that the recognition of man's fallen nature is missing as well. Now, one of the reasons why I wanted to bring this up and just share this with the church family and have us, you know, just kind of speak about this is because, truthfully, we've been putting up with incredible nonsense out there. And it gets beyond pathetic. By the way, I want to make mention of this right now. While we're doing this, now I don't think everybody's going to jump at this. But I would like men in the church, if there is something in the book of Proverbs that has been a blessing to your heart, a truth concerning wisdom, concerning knowledge, etc., I invite any of you to take 5-10 minutes while we're doing this on Wednesday night, come up and share something that God has shown you. Maybe, Brad, you could bring up something that you all talk often about when it comes to the RU program. And anybody that goes to the RU program that would like to share something. By the way, I like our new sign out there. That looks great. That's really good. Our problem, pure and simple, is found in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. There is wisdom and instruction that is godly that mankind doesn't want. They definitely don't want this, the fear of the Lord. Now, I don't know what it is that you might hear online, in the news, whatever, that just, if you're not careful, would send you over the edge. But you know, when you sit back and just kind of contemplate what is going on. For instance, wicked people scream at us and accuse us of doing what they're doing. I think it's amazing that there are people out there that are screaming at us, calling us racist, but they're always complaining about certain about the white man. Don't you love what the love of Christ does? And how the, you know, at the cross, the ground is level. You hurt so much for these people. You wish you could, you know, share. You wish they would give time to listen, but That's not part of their program. They even keep it up when they're proven wrong. Now, that can be one of several things. But they wind up just keeping it up and keeping it up. They are pushing agendas, not because they believe in them, but because they're a tool. And their tool brings division. I brought something up here. Now, we're talking about the wisdom of God. This is definitely not the wisdom of God. But there are people out there that have their own modus operandi. This is what they use. I'm not going to stay on this long. But I just wanted to take a few minutes, and I thought, you know, this is interesting. Where could I go to see what makes these people function, these specific people? And I thought, Rules for Radicals, Saul Alinsky. By the way, this has written here something that Saul Alinsky said. It says, 2 months before Alinsky died, he told a reporter, quote, "If there is an afterlife, and I have anything to say about it, I will unreservedly choose to go to hell." I believe he got his request. But he had several rules. Now, among which those rules is this. Whenever possible, go outside the expertise of the enemy. That's us. Look for ways to increase insecurity, anxiety, and uncertainty. We've gotten that even just with the virus. There's all kinds of ideas out there. Have we ever gotten all tied up like this when it comes to the flu shot? No. Not in the least bit. Not with the flu shot. Not with what color you need to make the carpet. Not with what brand of vehicle. It's really just kind of sad, but they've done a good job at it. This is interesting. Rule number 4, make the enemy live up to its own book of rules. I can see Satan in this. Get people feeling guilty about what the Bible says. Hey, you're supposed to be this. Why aren't you doing this? And it's always accuse, accuse, accuse. Rule number 5, ridicule is man's most potent weapon. They do it to infuriate others. Now, the reason why I'm reading this is the wisdom that they live by. You take these and you just sit back and you observe what is going on in our nation. And you realize this, they have a tenacity that we ought to have for God's wisdom. Ridicule is man's most potent weapon. It's irrational, it's infuriating, but it works. Rule number 8, keep the pressure on, never let up. That's why, again, no matter what, they will not concede anything. You can show them not only from the Word of God, but from the obvious. Don't you see where you're wrong? And they'll just keep right at it. Because they're not out there to prove a point. They're out there to break things down. Whereas God's wisdom puts things properly back together. I'll go ahead and stop there. There was one more, but we'll just keep going. Now, I was meditating on this. I was thinking about this, you know, before before coming to the message. And I got to thinking about something, and maybe you might have an observation and you're free to share it. But I was reading where someone was talking about the wisdom of previous generations. And I don't know, this was just an observation I came across, and it might be right or wrong, whatever. My parents are gone. The knowledge that they had is with them. It's gone. Now I have my kids asking, Dad, write down your testimony. Write things that you went through and this and that. And I got to thinking about this. You know, in the last 70, 80 years, there was something that we lost. The front porch. The front porch. What replaced it? The television. Now you think about that. All of a sudden we're not having family conversations like we used to. And I don't think radio really got in all that much into the way, but I wasn't there in the 20s and 30s, you know, when it was popular and all, you know, and all that. That's right, absolutely. There are people I praise God for more than I'm telling you. No. But you know, seriously, you stop and you consider. We wound up exchanging conversation for noise or a one-sided conversation. You know, the television did our talking for us. There's some things I wish I could have talked to my dad a little bit more about. You know, when he was younger. And I did talk some. But isn't it interesting in all the building that we do, and then you go someplace where there's older homes and there's something that's missing. The front porch. We've lost some things. And this is the reason why I bring it up. I believe that the front porch was a great place for wisdom. I believe the kitchen table would have been as well, but even the kitchen table, you know, it got to where it was crazy, in and out and boom and gone, and the food's eaten, and next thing you know, everybody's gone their own different way. I find that sad because life's lessons got lost when there was no more a front porch or even a dad or a mom that truly desired to pass some things on. I honestly, there are things about life that I didn't pass on to my kids. I wasn't even thinking. And maybe some of you feel the same way. I was hoping that my kids would catch on to some of those things when they heard Dad in the pulpit. That didn't always happen. So you know what I'm talking about. On a national scale, there are things that we've lost. And because of that, Satan has had a heyday. Now we wind up thinking it's just, it's mind-boggling. A potential microbe on Mars is found, or they think they found it, and it's proof of life. But a separate beating heart in a mother's womb is not. It doesn't make sense. Freedom of speech, thought, and religion is out. But in the land of the free and the home of the brave, Marxist dogma is accepted. When the proof is all around us in history and even today that it doesn't work. Capitalism is out, socialism is in, as long as you're on the receiving end. Boys and girls are not boys and girls by biology, but by choice. And that can change at a whim. Folks, I think it's absolute child abuse when a parent decides that a five-year-old that they had is not what it was born to be. That is wicked sin. But it's accepted now. I'm not going to go into what we've been battling at the Capitol, that's so much on its own. But as you can well nigh consider, when wickedness prevails so much in a place that Satan uses so well, it's insane what's being pushed. Like we saw this morning, and we are seeing it. 2 Timothy 3:13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. That's where we're at. Deceiving, and being deceived. So what is the solution? God's wisdom. But what has taken place? Instead of us making an impact like we could out there, we got hit broadside in a couple of areas, and all of a sudden, the church, God's people, are debating things that really ought not be debated. Inside the church, we're pointing accusatory fingers at each other. Folks, that's not right. Now, I'm not saying we have a big problem here. I'm not saying that. I hope and pray that we don't. But we've gotten so wrapped up in a debate, in a culture of tension that's going on out there. It's come in, and we don't need that. We don't have to have it because we have the wisdom of God. Go to, if you would please, Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Now, through Solomon, God is speaking. He's speaking through His servant. Listen to what He is saying here in Proverbs 4 and hear the voice of God. Verse 1, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father." Do we have a heavenly Father? We do. Praise God for that heavenly Father. "And attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine," good teaching, grounded. "Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother." That's interesting. Solomon mentions this here. He was favored. He was not the only son of Bathsheba, but he was the favored son. The Lord used that situation to prepare Solomon for what he would be doing. Verse 4, "He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words." Now again, we've got a blessed union of a father and a son, but God is speaking through them. The Lord is looking at each of us and He's saying, listen, retain my words. Listen to me. I'm your Father. I love that. "Keep my commandments and live." There are some things that if we're not careful, we wind up getting numb to. We have gotten used to homeless people. And it hurts. The shock is gone. Except if we stop and consider it, and sometimes we can look and we might wind up start getting judgmental. But you know, we ought to stop and consider this sometime. Do you still believe that life is precious? Seriously. I mean, praise God. There are those of us, we've been through our challenges, but the fact of the matter is, we sit in this place. And we have trusted Christ as our Savior. This is the worst it will be. And even where we are now, praise God for answered prayers and for blessings. That's life. There are people out there, it is so sad to see. Life is being so wasted. There's a fella, and I have to admit, I've never I've never taken the time to try and stop and talk to him. There's a fellow that has made Antelope and Watt Avenue his home. He keeps getting stuff and he puts it in one area. And then people come along and haul the whole thing off. He moves to a different area and he keeps getting stuff and he builds it up and he's there for a while. And then the powers that be come along and take it all off. That's happened, I think, about 4 or 5 times. He's now over on this corner and he's rebuilding it. Wherever he's getting the stuff, I don't know if he's stealing it, people are giving it to him, whatever. It's the same guy. He's been there for well over a year, and it's there. That's his life. That's a heartbreak. Who in the world was born desiring to do that? Now, I know people make choices. It can be drugs. It can be, you know, mental difficulties. It can be alcohol, whatever it might be. It has been hard to speak to some because they're not grasping what you're trying to tell them when it comes to the gospel. I think I need to go speak to that man sometime. I just need to. But we've seen it down Roseville Road, even down Watt Avenue, and wherever else it might be that you find it. But that's not living. Serving God, that's life. That's life. What we're reading, this is life. He says in verse 5, get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Now, did you hear that phrase? Can you picture the God of heaven saying to you, like we talked about this morning, here are the words that come from Him. Decline not from the words of my mouth. Listen to them. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Speaking of wisdom. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. I got to looking up a few commentators on this, and I came across Adam Clark. I liked what he said about this last verse, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, but with all thy getting, get understanding. He said this, wisdom prescribes the best end and the means best calculated for its attainment. Understanding directs to the ways, times, places, and opportunities of practicing the lessons of wisdom. Wisdom sees, but understanding feels. One discovers, the other possesses. I thought that was great. So wisdom ought to be that thing that we desire. It ought to be that must-have thing. When we wake up, according to the book of James, when he said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. With everything that we have just read, everything that we've kind of meditated on and we've discerned, and the scripture that we've looked at, and we've heard the cry of God when it comes to wisdom, stop and consider what God is up against. What He's up against. God is not up against silence. There's noise out there. He's up against TV. He's up against social media, podcasts, Netflix, you name it. Sometimes He's up against the bad advice of a relative, the wicked thinking of a neighbor, a co-worker. He's up against these things. People at home tonight will not be sitting in absolute quiet. If they're not listening to God's Word, if they're not listening to a service from here, but somewhere, a Bible preaching church somewhere, If they're not, maybe they've got, oh Lord help us, they've got CNN on. And it might be Fox News, but Fox News isn't preaching God's Word. They can be just as wicked as anybody else. Any number of things. So we take the book of Proverbs, and again, when it comes to the book of Proverbs, I recognize, Brad, you guys really maximize on the book of Proverbs when it comes to the RU material and such. I praise God for that. That's great. In the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, there are 2 concepts that speak: wisdom and folly. There's 4 individuals that are addressed. Everybody in this building falls into one of the 4. Now that's something that ought to make us stop and think. We're reading about ourselves. What is it? Where do we land? Look at verse 1. Chapter 1, forgive me. Proverbs chapter 1. Look at verse 22. There's 3 classes of sinners. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Now, you, I'm sure, have studied this out. Some of you have studied it out. This is what I have here. When it comes to these 3 individuals that we're looking at, these sinners. First of all, there's the simple. That's the naive people who believe anything but examine nothing. That's the Gilligan syndrome. The professor's right. Mr. Howell's right. You know, the skipper's right. Whoever's speaking, they're the person that's right. Proverbs 14:15. The simple believe every word. The simple believe every word. Then there's the scorner. The scorner thinks that they know everything, and they laugh at the things that are important. While the simple one has a blank look on his face, the scorner sneers. You ever met somebody like that? Proverbs 21:24. Proud and haughty scorner is his name who dealeth in proud wrath. It doesn't matter what you tell them, they are always going to be smarter than you. They're always going to be smarter. It's the pride that gets in there. You are not going to persuade them on anything. Had a fellow that came into this, and this has been years ago, but there was a fellow that came in here and was trying to help him. He visited with his family. His family was soon to blow apart. They were only here 3 or 4 times. And I was dealing with him and trying to help and stuff. And he started accusing me, you know, if you won't look me in the eye when you're talking to me, then there's a problem somewhere. I don't look people in the eye all the time because it makes them uncomfortable. At least it seemed to me that it would. And then he would start sharing how he fought with some guy who was, who had crossed him or whatever. And I'm thinking, are we getting through? And finally, one day he called me and he said, I'm not coming back anymore. You're not feeding me. He's got, go out there, find a Bible preaching church, have at it. But there was no telling him anything. Then there's the fool. Fools are people who are ignorant of truth because they're stubborn. Now, have I ever been stubborn, honey? Wait a minute. Thank you. Boy, listen to it. Boy, and I'm... See, I identified, but she identified too, where she's not going to make me feel bad. Anybody here, you've ever been stubborn? Exactly. I love it when other people confess their sin. It just makes me feel so good. The problem isn't a low IQ. It's not poor education. It's a lack of spiritual desire, and we have been there. So you stop and you consider this. The scorner is one, no matter what, you're not telling me what's right. But the fool is someone, they just don't desire it. I pass. Their outlook is just on this world, the material, the humanistic. So you look at these. Fools hate knowledge. Again, going back to the verse that we were reading, Proverbs 1:22. Fools hate knowledge. But then there's the wise. Then there's the wise. And you find them in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 8. The wise in heart. That's where the passion is. The wise in heart will receive commandments. Will receive commandments. The wise in heart will take this book, recognize that whoever it is that's telling you to open the book, it's God that is speaking to you, and you see these things. And again, like we saw this morning about the Lord saying stuff, hey, if God is speaking the promises, praise God. Like Jim Berg said, when God makes a promise, He creates, He builds, He creates His universe to operate around that promise. There is nothing that God will do, nothing that God will introduce into our lives, into the creation, that will go against the promise that He's made. He will keep His promises. So we, if we are wise, we have the passion in our hearts, we'll go after His commandments, knowing that's where the blessing is. So what does wisdom say to the verse to the first three? Let me go through this quickly, and then we'll be done. First of all, wisdom. Now remember, wisdom, this is the wisdom of God personified. Wisdom is speaking. Once again, verse 22, chapter 1. How long, ye? How long? Wisdom has spoken time and again. This is where we need to stop. Here's an indictment. And we need to stop and consider this. Our world can get pushing us along if we're not careful. We need to take the time to recognize that wisdom is seeking our attention. God's wisdom. Remember Christ? Revelation 3:20. Behold, I what? Stand at the door and knock. He's still doing that. Wisdom is seeking, God's wisdom is seeking our attention as well. Even tonight, there can be 1,001 things that are trying to get into your mind right now, but the fact of the matter is, God's wisdom is trying to get our attention. And even in teaching this, one thing I've noticed, and Roger, maybe you've kind of recognized this too, sometimes you can be so caught up in getting a message prepared for others, God has to come in and say, wait a minute, you need to preach this to yourself first. It's the truth. It really is. Really is. How long, ye simple ones? We love simplicity. There's an indictment. But then he brings an invitation. Look at verse 23. Turn you at my reproof. God is always seeking to show us, listen, this is where you need to go. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Now again, that's a promise from God, His wisdom speaking. I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. This is a call to turn. That's called repentance. And then trusting God, that's called faith. Now, not necessarily salvation here, but praise God, it's a salvation in this. It teaches us how to live. God's wisdom gives us life worth living. We don't need to listen to what is going on out there. I hurt so much in hearing about situations where people are desiring, quite honestly, to give up on life. And what they were doing was something that was good. But they just quit. Don't quit. We need salt and light out there. We need to be salt and light out there. The sad thing is, how does a fool respond? How does the simple respond? How does the scorner respond to wisdom? They refuse to obey her voice. God speaks, they won't hear it. They won't take hold of what is being outstretched to them. Here is the truth of God's word. They're neglecting it. They laugh at the warnings. They laugh at the warnings. That's kind of sad. Here's a warning, a genuine warning by God. And they just plow right on through. Have you found out that with some people, a speed limit sign just doesn't work? Now, there have been a few times a speed sign didn't work for me either. We have been blessed now in our neighborhood. You know, what is the speed limit when you go into a residential neighborhood? 25 miles an hour. There are too many that have seen too many movies about fast cars that drive through our neighborhood. And now the warnings have not been heeded, and we get the blessing as we go into our neighborhood of now having speed bumps. Tall speed bumps, not long ones that let you just glide over. It's like, boom. I don't like those. I'm going to put my house up for sale. I don't want to deal. No, but now, but I love this. My wife remembers that one night she was listening to a car and it was screeching around and screaming around, and all of a sudden, pow! And funny, it was never heard after that. Something took place. They laugh at the warnings. They mock the words. They mock the words. Have you ever pled with somebody? I have pled with people that were taking drugs. Stop it. Don't you understand? Nothing. Nothing. And so the family blows apart. The person winds up in prison. It's so incredibly sad. So the question is, can we change? Can we absorb the wisdom of God? And the answer is, yes, we can. Because we have the Spirit that we were just singing about earlier. The Comforter has come. But I don't have time to get to that tonight. So Lord willing, as we gather again, we will look to how we obtain wisdom. All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we continue this study, I pray, Lord, that you would help us. We need not be discouraged by what we're hearing out there. We have your word. You have spoken it into existence. Lord, we're so thankful for it. I pray that we would meditate within our hearts, speaking to you about what you have taught us in your word. Thank you for it. And absorb it. Seek to live by it. Lord, rejoice in your presence. And we will joy and rejoice in the fruit that remains. Thank you for these dear folks that have come. Thank you for their faithfulness. Lord, I pray that the wisdom that is found in your word will be used by us to be a blessing to others, because there is such a need for you to be speaking to people out there. And we're the ones that are the salt and light. Lord, help us to absorb this. Bless, I pray, our efforts as we seek to speak to people. There, it could be that somebody here would speak to someone who maybe is ready to give up on life, or maybe they already have. Lord, thank you for the salvation that you've given. While we await to be within your presence, help us to be busy occupying till you come. We pray in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.